Good morning. Happy Easter at BCF Church. As Devin mentioned, I am Pastor Bo, and if we haven't met, just a little bit about me. My family moved here when I was just 11 years old, and I've been here most of my life. This is my beautiful family. My lovely wife, Gianna, she is a Brownsville girl. Our three kids, Jack, Cecily, and Felicity, they were all born here in the Valley. You know, it's fun when you have kids to see they become like miniature versions of yourself. People tell me my son, Jack, looks just like me. Or they say my daughter, Cecily, looks like my wife, Gianna. Or Felicity looks like my mom or my sister. And it's a fun thing. But you know, sometimes the resemblances can be a little uncanny. Like my daughter, Cecily, has my exact feet. And it's weird. I was sitting on the couch with her one day, and she's sitting next to me, and she has her foot up on her knee next to me, and I look down, and there is a miniature version of my foot right next to me, and I'm like, that's my foot. It was an out-of-body experience. And my wife said, that's what I've been telling you. She has your feet. Now, it's not a bad thing. They're beautiful feet. But what about those qualities that we don't want to pass on? My wife's father had a heart attack in his 40s. He's okay, he's alive. His twin brother also had a heart attack that same year. And these are healthy, active men, but it's genetic. And so my wife, Gianna, she's very careful. She's keeping an eye on her heart for that reason. My parents are both diabetic. And so I know this is in my genes. I have to be careful about how I eat, and I have a sweet tooth. I have to keep an eye out for these things because this is in my genes. But you know, there are some defects that go deeper. What about those defects in our character? Have you ever found yourself doing the very thing you swore you would never do? Say, I'm never going to do that, or I'm never going to do that again, and then you do it. Have you ever been there? In the Bible, Peter was there. Peter was one of Jesus' closest 12 followers, and the night before Jesus was arrested, Jesus told his followers, you are all going to abandon me. They're going to come and arrest me and take me away and kill me, and you will all desert me. And Peter's like, Lord, not me. Maybe these other fools, but not me. I will die for you, Jesus. And Jesus told him, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny that you even know me three times. And that is exactly what happened. That night, a mob in the middle of the night came and took Jesus with torches and clubs, and all of his followers scattered. And Jesus was given a sham trial by the Jewish religious leaders who were jealous of his popularity. And then they took him before the corrupt Roman government. And even though Pilate found Jesus innocent, he handed him over to die to keep the leaders happy. In the midst of all of this, Peter was watching from a distance. He watched as his Lord, his teacher, his best friend is beaten and mocked and spit on. And the people nearby where Peter is, they say, hey, aren't you one of his followers? He said, no, I don't even know that guy. Three different times they asked him, and the last time he's cursing, he's saying, no, I do not know that man. And at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. From where Jesus was, he saw to the courtyard where Peter was, and they made eye contact. And suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Peter did the very thing he swore he would never do. And maybe you've been there. That sinful habit, you said you would never do it again. and then you do it again. You promise you'll never shout at your children again, and then you do it again. That you say, I'm never going to touch alcohol or weed or some destructive substance that's killing you, and then you do it again. You say, I'm never going to cheat on my spouse, or I'm never going to look at pornography again, and then you do. Why? Why do we do the things that we hate? Paul, one of the writers of the New Testament, he wrote about this feeling. He said, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Why? Because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. How? How did that happen? How did we get this sinful nature? How did we become slaves to sin? Well, this is a defect we inherited from our first ancestors, Adam and Eve. See, God made Adam and Eve perfect. They lived in paradise in the Garden of Eden, where they walked with God every day. And God said, there's only one rule to stay here. Only one rule. Do not eat from the fruit of this tree. For when you eat from this tree, you will surely die. And Satan, our ancient enemy, Satan who hates God, and by extension, he hates us because we were made in God's image. Satan came along and lied to Adam and Eve and said, no, God's holding out on you. You're not going to die. In fact, if you eat from that tree, you're going to become just like God. And they believed him. And they disobeyed God. And they ate from the tree. And when God found Adam and Eve, he told them this, you ate fruit from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat. So I will put a curse on the ground. You will have to work very hard for your food. In pain, you will eat its food all the days of your life. If you've ever wondered, why is life so hard? Why do I have to work so hard just to get anything here in life? It's because of the curse. It's because of the curse of sin. And God said, you will sweat and work hard for your food, and later you will return to the ground. Because you are taken from it. You are dust, and when you die, you will return to the dust. See, before this, there was no sin. There was no death. We were meant to live forever in paradise with God, but sin brought death into our world. And the Bible says when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. See, we've all inherited this sin nature from our ancestors, Adam and Eve, this want to sin. Parents, have you ever noticed you don't have to teach your children to sin? You don't have to teach them to lie or to fight with their siblings. You don't have to teach them to take things that don't belong to them. Why? Where did they get this from? From their parents. And we got it from our parents, who got it from their parents, and their parents, and their parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. We have inherited this defect, this curse of sin and death. And friends, it's not just us humans. Our entire world has been cursed because of human sin. The Bible says, against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. Every evil thing in our world is a result of the curse of sin and death. Addiction, abuse, broken families, poverty, debt, even witchcraft and the occult and curanderos, it's all that going back to that old lie from Satan that we can control the world around us. We can be like God, but it's a trap. And it binds us in chains of sin and death. And right now, some of you are thinking, Pastor Bo, this is supposed to be Easter. This is a real downer message. Is there any hope? Yes, there is hope. The Bible continues, with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Friends, there is a way to freedom. There was a promise that one day a Savior would come who would break the chains of sin and death. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is God the Son. God became one of us. Jesus was born into this world as a human from a human mother, so he experienced all the things we experience. He experienced hunger and thirst and exhaustion and joy and sadness and discouragement and sorrow. All these things that are part of our human experience, Jesus experienced. Jesus had a human mother, but he did not have a human father. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she gave birth to him. God is Jesus' father, so Jesus did not inherit our sin defect. He was perfect. And this is why the Bible says God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Jesus never sinned, so he could take on the punishment for our sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. The Bible says Christ rescued us from the curse. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. As Jesus hung on that cross on Good Friday 2,000 years ago, he took the curse for sin and death. He took our curse on himself. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, there were two criminals being executed on either side of him, also crucified. And one of the criminals, he looked over at Jesus and he shouted, "Hey, if you're the Messiah, why don't you get down off that cross, save yourself and us too while you're at it." This guy didn't get it. He didn't understand. Jesus was there by choice. He chose to die for us. The criminal on the other side said this. He said, "Don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die?" He's hanging there and he says, "We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." See, this guy gets it. He acknowledges, "I'm a sinner. I deserve this, but Jesus is innocent." And then he said this, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's faith. See, not only did he recognize I'm guilty and he's innocent, he recognized Jesus is not going to stay dead. He says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's heaven. A return to paradise where we are with God forever and ever. And I need to ask you a question this morning. If you were to die today, do you know for certain that heaven would be your home? See, like that thief on the cross, you can have absolute assurance that you have a home in heaven with God. In a moment, we're going to sing a song called Rescue. Because when we needed rescue, Jesus came to rescue us. But before we do, I want to invite you to talk to Jesus. If you've never invited him into your life, do that right now. I'm going to put a prayer up here on the screen, and I just invite you to pray this with me. If you've never said this before, tell him today, "Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe you are who you say you are, the Son of God." And then admit, "I'm a sinner. I deserve death." You're not telling him anything he doesn't know. Say, "Jesus, you are innocent. You died in my place on the cross." You're saying, "Jesus, I believe you are my sacrifice." and just ask him, please forgive me for all my sin. That's why he came. He came to forgive you. Ask him today, please forgive me, and he will forgive you. And then just tell him, I will live for your kingdom from now on. If you tell him that today, he will come into your life and change you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Oh, I've been desperate, cried those loud prayers, like Job on his knees, saying, Lord, I need more than a little help. And I've been surrounded, felt fear on all sides, like Daniel in the light, so knowing I fight, I don't fight by myself. When I needed rescue, Jesus, you came through. Oh, in my hardest season, your promise held true. And every time I've given in, Lord, you prove it again that you're still my Savior now. Jesus, you came through when I needed rescue. When I've been defeated, I know you'll pull me out of my grave. When I needed rescue, Jesus, you came through. Oh, in my hardest season, your promise held true. You are calm inside the storm. I have seen you move, and I believe you will do what you did before.
Friends, if you prayed that with me a moment ago, you are part of God's family. Your sins have been forgiven. You have a home in heaven. Would you please let us know about it? Today in your connection card, just mark, today I have decided to give Christ control of my life. If you didn't grab one of these, you can just scan that code. But let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to rejoice with you. We want to help you take those next steps as you follow Jesus Christ. And maybe you're wondering, well, what do I do now? I believe in Jesus. Now what do I do? Live for Jesus. because Jesus lives for you. Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 24. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. These are some of the women who were present as Jesus was dying on the cross, and they saw his death, and they were his followers, and they loved him. And so they were taking spices they had prepared. In Bible times, this is something that you would do to honor someone you loved. You would wrap their body with these spices as they're embalmed, and it was a way of showing love and respect. Now, Jesus had been placed into a cave-like tomb with a huge stone rolled over the entrance, and the women are wondering, I don't know how we're going to roll that stone away. But the Bible says they found that the stone had been rolled from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. Angels. And the women were terrified, and they bowed with their faces to the ground. And the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. He is alive." So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. But the Bible says, however, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Remember Peter? Peter had denied 3 times that he even knew Jesus, and now he is desperate to know, is Jesus alive? Because if Jesus is alive, forgiveness is possible. If Jesus is alive, change is possible. And he got up and he ran to the tomb. And the Bible says, stooping, he peered in and he saw the empty linen wrappings. And he went home again wondering what had happened. Is it true? Is Jesus alive? That night, Jesus' followers, they're gathered in an upper room with locked doors. They're wondering what's going to happen next. Suddenly, they hear someone banging on the door, and they're like, uh-oh, what's going on? But as they peek through the keyhole, they see it's some of their friends, some followers of Jesus Christ, and they come bursting in. They say, "Guys, Jesus is alive. We were on our way walking home, and Jesus joined us, and he started walking with us and talking with us, and he ate with us, and we realized it's Jesus, and he's alive, and he disappeared, and we just had to come running back and tell you all, Jesus is alive." And the Bible says, and just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Jesus is alive, and he offers us peace. He offers us peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins. He offers us peace here in this life, because he breaks the chains of sin and death, and he gives us a new life and a new start and freedom. So the Bible says he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their chains in pieces. See, friends, if Jesus could defeat death, he can defeat any sin that is holding you down today. Are there any chains that are holding you down today? Jesus has come to break every chain. Maybe there's a chain of addiction. Next week, Pastor Juan, our Celebrate Recovery pastor, on April 7th, is gonna share how Jesus breaks the chains of addiction and the pain that led us to addiction. Then on April 14th, we're gonna talk about how Jesus breaks the chains of sexual sin. Maybe you feel like, I just can't change. I'm trapped in this never-ending cycle. Jesus can set you free. On the 21st, we'll see how Jesus can break the curse of broken families. He can end that cycle of hurting. Your family does not have to go through what you've gone through. There is freedom. There is change in Jesus Christ. On the 28th, we're going to see how Jesus breaks the cycle and the bondage of poverty and bondage to debt. Jesus brings us freedom. And then on May 5th, we're going to talk about how Jesus can break the chains of witchcraft and the occult and brujería. You will not want to miss any one of these messages, because, friends, Jesus breaks every chain. Maybe today you feel like the pressures of sin and temptation just, they're surrounding you and they're just pressing in on you on every side. Maybe today you feel like you're in a battle between who you used to be and who you want to be. Friends, Jesus fights our battles for us. Jesus breaks every chain. So friends, during this next song, I want you to picture those chains that have been holding you down and give them over to Jesus Christ, because he will break those chains. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you did not leave us in slavery to sin and death. You sent your son Jesus to set us free. Father, you know what we're struggling with today. You know what's holding us down. You know what's keeping us in darkness. So Father, we surrender these chains to you today. Please break every chain that's holding us in slavery. With your eyes closed, I want you to picture the chain that is binding you today. Could be a chain of addiction. Could be a chain of bitterness and unforgiveness. Could be a destructive relationship. Whatever it is, during this next song, I want you to hold out your hands and picture yourself giving these chains over to Jesus Christ. Jesus, we give these chains to you. You break every chain and you fight our battles for us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.